Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
من تذكر جيران بذي سلامي مزجت دمعا جرى من مقلة بدمي الحمد لله منشي الخلق من عدمي ثم الصلاة على المقتار في القدم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we have, mashallah, Hazrat Mawlana Salman Yunus, and last week I think he was sick. So alhamdulillah, today, remember the day, today is the 18th of Ramadan 1446, and other areas of the world it is the 19th of Ramadan, and corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 19th of March 2025. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Now, all well on your side? Have you recovered? And I think last week, Brother Suleiman told us you were not too well and you couldn't join us.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, much better this week. Last week, wanted to join us as much as possible, but unfortunately was unable to. But this week, alhamdulillah, seems to be back to normal.
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. How's everything that side in Durban? Was there any floods in that? We heard certain areas, KwaZulu-Natal was affected. Was your area also affected?
Durban, in the past few months, if you have to look at it, we've been getting those sporadic rains, and it's not normal, I would say, if you look at the climate of Durban, that the rain that we were having, those heavy downpours. So it was something that's strange and something that people were not really familiar with. And we, because of that day, many areas did get waterlogged and water damaged. As far as the extent of it, I'm not too sure, but it's not as, I don't think, as serious compared to those storms and those rains we had in the past. But you will have those people that did get affected, where maybe the houses or the walls, the banks and things were washed away. But I don't know, that's not too sure with regards to that. Yeah.
And I think someone said something that makes sense, like if you take Saudi Arabia and other areas of the world where they're not prepared for rain. So when you're not prepared for rain and then it comes storming upon you, then of course you're going to have certain... And as you were speaking now, I just recall when we went to South Coast in Durban, then we went to this one crocodile farm. So there, the guide was telling us that crocodiles, they need a certain temperature, and he was saying about how rarely they get rain in that particular area. So it's hard to think that an area doesn't get rain. So then when it comes, then this floods and all of this occurs and takes place. But nonetheless, Mulana, I hope everything else, Ramadan with the Muslimin in Durban, everything... Maybe you can, just before we start to the actual topic, what's, you know, certain things like Mulana mentioned last time about the cell phones and the noise that it just now in the week, someone also, the cell phone went on and giving directions in Salah. Like, you know, it's a mistake. So directions, where to go, what to do, and how it, and then I was thinking about what a... how it distracts you. Everyone is coming here for to remember Allah. And then this distracts. And then I think you said it or someone said it, but I'm most likely Mulana said it, that most of the time we're not even focusing on Allah. And then when this tone, ringtone goes on, then now all of a sudden we now remember, hey, I have to think of Allah, and we become irritated. But initially we were not concentrating on Allah. So, but still, to have these stones, to have these things, distractions, it should be, as you've said last time, keep it out. Don't even bring it to the masjid. Like this year, there's always things that we notice and we need to bring to the attention of the public that these issues, these things, like one issue which I personally saw and witnessed is that rush, you know, for farad salah, with that which is farad, you're rushing through it just so that you can get done early. And then also in Taraweeh, where we're cutting short in terms of our tashahud, is so you're just reading tashahud, after that you're making salam. So you read out, you leave out Durud Ibrahim, you leave out the dua after that. So these things, as such, has Mulana noticed anything?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. So, like this thing was 2 days back, I think it was the Zohar Salah. And Zohar, now we know, generally we have a lot of people, especially in the town area, the working crowd comes to Zohar. Alhamdulillah, I think Allah Ta'ala has given us the realization to come for Salah. And I remember while the Salah was on, performing the Salah, and someone's phone was just going on and on. And that person too is not even, you know, trying to put it off or put his hand in their pocket or switch it off. And you get some people that think that, you know, once I'm in my Salah, whatever is happening, I can't do anything. I can't touch, I can't move, and it's just me in my Salah. And after the Salah finished, I could hear some of the elderly people in the masjid, and they were very upset. They were getting, you know, they started asking, whose phone was it? Who was it? Why didn't you off it? And now, things like this, you have to handle it. And it's sometimes really slight also, because by addressing it sometimes in that, in that circumstance, in that mindset of people, then it can blow out of proportion. So for that salah, then we left it. And then after that day, after every salah, for every salah again, you have to make the announcement. And if a person's phone, it happens at times that you totally forget. Sometimes you are so used to your phone being on vibrate, on silent. And on that specific day, maybe it went, you had it on loud for some reason, you were expecting a call, and you forgot to put it off. And now you go into salah and then you realize, I know sometimes when we think to ourselves that, did I put it on silent or not? And that worry comes in your salah that it mustn't go, it mustn't ring. The whole salah you have that worry, it mustn't ring, because you don't want to inconvenience anyone. Because you don't want people to look at you after salah and say it was your phone. So that's the good consciousness that we should have in our hearts. But if it happens, it rings in salah, then at least the bare minimum, let's put our hand by our pocket, press 1-2 buttons or something. Today with the touch screens, you say it's even harder to put it on silence, because how do you hit the touch screen through our pocket? But we have those side buttons and whatever it might be. At least if it's ringing, then the bare minimum, let us put it, stop it from the ringing at that time. And sometimes you get the person's phone goes on and on and on. But like this year, like you're saying, we have these disturbances that come into the masjid. And it wasn't actually the topic of discussion of today, but recently also I've just written an article regarding this. And maybe because, alhamdulillah, it's tying up to what we have been discussing, maybe we can touch on it for a few moments before we go on, or we can see whether how long it will pull us. But like we're saying, in the masjid, alhamdulillah, we go, and our focus is Allah Ta'ala, our focus is the worship of Allah Ta'ala. And besides the cell phone, we find other aspects that do distract the person in the masjid, especially Ramadan time. You'll see before it starts, people are waiting in the masjid. Taraweeh Salah, unfortunately, while the Taraweeh Salah is on, people are sitting. So they tend to want to talk to each other, whether they're going early, they're sitting early before Taraweeh, or they're sitting before it starts. And now they want to make conversation, useless conversation, just to pass their time away. And to a person who's busy in dua, a person who's busy in Quran, who's trying to get that focus before he makes that dua, before it starts, and now for people to be talking, for people to be distracting, it is really not a good moment for that person. And we should ask ourselves that if we are going to get bored in the masjid, then let's sit in the car then, sit outside. Because those that are wanting to make the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala and concentrate on Allah, then they are coming in the masjid, they are sitting, and they are trying to build that connection and that link with Allah Ta'ala. So unfortunately, we find before iftar also the noise levels are kind of high. During Taraweeh Salah, while the Taraweeh is on also, people are sitting in the back of the masjid, in the corners of the masjid, and they are busy talking. And I always advise the students, alhamdulillah, and we tell them, you see all these old uncles, all these people, we'll call them, they may be the parking of Jamaat or the back of the wall Jamaat. And then you look at them and you laugh and say, but how it all started? It all started that from a young age, they never performed Taraweeh. From a very young age, their habit was such that you should run outside, the habit was such that we'll meet with our friends and we'll smoke outside or whatever it is. Now when they grew up and now they are adults, and even they might even have children, but they find it very difficult now to break that cycle of just Ramadan. Because in their minds, Ramadan comes and this is my routine for Ramadan. To break it now is very difficult. So the children and the students, we advise them that, you know what, from a young age, stand for that Taraweeh. Don't run away. Don't go in the back of the masjid. Don't stay with your friends. After Taraweeh, you can see them. Before Taraweeh, you can see them. But while Taraweeh is on, you go in the front of the Saf as far as possible that is allowed for the children to go. And stand over there or stand next to your father or some adult who you know you won't want to run away from because of them standing next to you. These are all ways which we can train and get ourselves prepared for the Taraweeh Salah. And I promise you, when you ask that child or you ask that person even who never read Taraweeh before and now this year he read his Taraweeh properly and now he experiences the day of Eid, he tells you it's a totally different flavor, totally different experience. That this Eid, it feels like I really achieved something. It feels like I really deserve this Eid coming. So Ramadan's still here. We don't have Ramadan that has gone as yet. We still have one third of Ramadan plus remaining. If we were part of this group of people who did not utilize Ramadan properly, then we still got the remainder. Allah Ta'ala is still giving us, and we got the best of the Ramadan left. But before we come there, inshallah, just in 5 minutes, just want to touch on the one aspect, inshallah, before we come to the actual discussion. But, and never mind, alhamdulillah, is that we were talking about distractions in the masjid. And one very common thing is we find in Ramadan the children in the masjid. We find children in the masjid more than out of Ramadan. And we can understand the reasoning behind it to a certain extent, that the barakah of Ramadan is there. We find the masjids are buzzing with programs, Quran, tilawat, zikr, people doing their door. It's a very, very spiritually enlightening and experience. And as a parent, you want your child to get exposed to this also. You want your child to experience and come see what's happening in the masjid. Come and see how exciting the environment is. So parents bring their children along, alhamdulillah. But unfortunately, in wanting to do good, then there mustn't be such that more damage is done. So when we are bringing our children, many a times we bring them, we show them, and we leave them. And then we go in the front of the masjid. But the disturbances that they cause thereafter or the distractions that they cause thereafter, then that is not allowed. That should not be happening. So in the month of Ramadan, besides the month of Ramadan also, even after Ramadan, when we want to bring our kids to the masjid, let us just 3 points to consider, 3 points to keep in our mind. The age appropriateness and understanding of our children. See, we know our kids and with our heart, we must be honest with ourselves that is my child ready for the masjid? Sometimes you'll see a parent bringing their 6-year-old child, 7-year-old child, but that child does not have any upbringing in the understanding of what the masjid is. He did not learn the sanctity of the masjid. He did not learn what it means to be in the masjid. So he's coming to the masjid. He thinks he's coming to a playground. He sees nice soft carpets. He sees nice aircons. Clean environments, to him it's something fun he can run around because he doesn't understand. And whereas you get a child maybe 4 years old, 5 years old, but he came with the grew up with the understanding of what the masjid is. So now you look at that father of a 5-year old and that father of a 7-year old. When it comes to these aspects, ulama say you have to use your discretion and use your understanding. We've got the hadith of Nabi Sallam also saying that keep our masjids free from the insane, from the children, from those people who might cause disturbances because these are mindsets of people who don't understand what the masjid is. So every child is different and every parent brings their child up differently. So if from that young age the child understands the masjid, then for the father to bring the child and to be with the child, then it's not a problem. But even if the child is 9 or 10 years old and does not understand what the masjid is, then such a child still should not be allowed in the masjid unless and until that father takes the responsibility of educating the child of the masjid. So the age appropriateness and understanding of the masjid is very, very important when we are thinking of bringing our child to the masjid. And how strange and how weird it is, if you want to say, that those parents insist on bringing their small kids to the masjid. And when people advise them, they don't want to listen to anything. They say, we want to bring them. But those children of them who are of age, they got little kids, 13, 14, who are of age of the masjid, those children they don't bring. Those are the ones they don't even think of asking, I'm going to the masjid, or forcing them and telling them, come to the masjid. But rather the child who is masoom and not even necessary for him to come, that's the child we want to insist on bringing. So age appropriateness and understanding of the child. The second thing is the dressing of the child. That the masjid is the house of Allah Ta'ala. And respect must be shown at all times in every aspect. In every aspect. Even though the child might be young and we'll say innocent and small, but still too, he must be dressed appropriately. He must come to the masjid in the correct attire. He must not come wearing shorts and vests and pajamas and sporting attires, all these soccer tops and cricket tops, and even worse, where they come wearing animate clothing. All this should be not worn at all. Leave the masjid aside. At all, they shouldn't be worn. But even more so in the masjid. And unfortunately, adults need to be told this here also. So many adults, you see, coming to the masjid, it's Fajr time in their pajamas. You see them coming to the masjid in a vest with a big chain. They come into the masjid and they're wearing their soccer tops, they're wearing their attires and something. So these are matters which, if from a young age, the child is not made aware of, just like that Taraweeh, they will grow up also thinking this to be correct. And I can dress anyhow in the masjid. Remember, the masjid is the house of Allah Ta'ala. To create the atmosphere. And I ask the students also very often, I ask them, what is so difficult that behind your door, you keep a kurta hanging? And when you are coming to the masjid, just slip it over you. It takes 2 seconds, literally 2 seconds, just to slip the kurta over you. You can be wearing your pajamas under, you can be wearing your three quarters, your pants, whatever it is. But when you come into the masjid, understand that this, just like how you're going to a work, or you're going to a function and they got a dress code. The masjid got the dress code of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we want to connect with Allah Ta'ala, then the first step in us connecting is to be looking like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the effect that the clothing has on a person's mind, then this is something that needs to be looked at seriously. The child, we are dressing them up as Spider-Man, Superman, whatever it is, or as a soccer player with that name on it, it has an effect on this child growing up. This child's mindset is that I must be Spider-Man. I must be the soccer player. Why else would my parent buy me this year? But if the child is wearing and dressing like the sunnah, then his mindset will be that I must be like my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I must look like my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I must act like my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in today's time, especially for young girls, we find them, you see, no, they're still young, and we dress them inappropriately from a young age. This is totally, totally not in accordance with the Sharia, in accordance with Islam. Rather, from that young age, you start teaching the children that this is how you dress. This is how you should be dressed. And they grow up understanding that this is how my dressing is. Rather than changing it later, which becomes more difficult, we should try and see how they are dressed according to how Islam is telling us. And that is more important for us to realize. As parents, especially as adults, coming to the masjid, if we dress properly, then you'll see our children will dress properly. And one very, very bad habit that has crept into the masajids is that people coming to the masajids bareheaded. It's like a new fashion, a new trend that's happening, especially amongst the youngsters. I don't understand what it is or how it even happens that these haircuts and these hairstyles become so fashionable that every second youngster you'll see have the same haircut. And you ask yourself, how did this new spread of this haircut? Mm. And it's like in today's time, you look at them and you think to themselves that how do you even think that you're looking handsome? How do you, the whole side is shaved off and the top is left? And you think that what is about this here that everyone is doing it? And they come into the masjid and I promise you it is so distracting that haircut that you feel irritated, you feel angry from within that you are coming to the masjid, the house of Allah Ta'ala, and you're not even shy that you are looking contrary to the hadith of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I feel happy, I'm looking smart, I'm coming to the masjid. But smart according to whose dictates, according to whose standards, according to the world. Here you're standing in salah, expecting to get sawab, expecting to get closer to Allah. But the total opposite is happening. You are getting sin whilst in that salah. You are getting sin whilst you're supposed to be in ibadah. Here you are making dua in the time of Ramadan. You are getting more and more sin while you're supposed to be getting more and more sawab. Why? Because we don't realize. As we say, we have to educate and we have to realize. The other week we spoke about identifying a sin as a sin. That we have to realize a sin and thereafter we can abandon a sin. If our children, if ourselves also don't realize that these haircuts are not right, these haircuts are not in accordance with Sharia, then how will we ever correct it? How will we ever guide our youth coming up that these are not styles for you? And someone said very nicely, I was reading something, and they asked the person, that how do you know to cut your hair like this? And they said, no, I want to, it was my choice. And he says, no, we don't have a choice. Like you cut your hair also, you never have a choice. He says, me, I cut my hair one length. It was not my choice, it was me following the Sharia. I followed what the Sharia was commanding. You cutting your hair all funny is also not your choice. You are following the dictates of Western society. How did you know to even have such a haircut? It's because you saw it on some player or you saw it on some magazine and now that influenced your decision. So he says everything that we are doing is not that my choice. It's what influencing us to make that choice and ultimately we are being dictated by these things that are happening around us. So why don't we be dictated by Sharia? Why don't we let Sharia be our way of life and say, this is my choice to follow Sharia, even though I know I'm doing what Sharia wants me to do. So at the end of it all, if a person looks at it, whatever decisions we make in our life, it's all influenced by something or someone around us. And let us make that person the thing. Let that be Islam, let that be Sharia. So this dressing of our children and ourselves also in coming to the masjid is very crucial, very important. And this aspect of not wearing a topi is so important in today's time going forward to uplift this great sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where that head is covered, we wear a topi, we bring a topi. And sometimes you'll see the child too, they have the topi in the pocket. And you ask them, why? Put it on your head. And they don't know what to say. So as parents, you ensure all this is done. And the last point, inshallah, we'll end up on this year regarding to the children in the masjid, is that be with your child at all times. Be with your child at all times. Often during salah, we hear kids running and playing, disturbing other musallis. The kids are not at fault. The kids are not at fault. But rather, it's the parent that is at fault. We must always be with our kids and show them how to behave in the masjid. When we go to the masjid, many times we see a child left to do their own thing. They beat up with their friends, like they're having a reunion in the back. And the father goes in the front of the staff. No, this is not right. Rather, we should teach our child how to be in the masjid and stand next to them in the masjid. Whether it's our farad salah or our sunnah salah, we brought them to the masjid, they are our responsibility. One, it is not correct to take them to the front staff with us. Because the front staff is for the baligh adults, not for the children. And it's also not correct for us to leave them alone in the back. Rather, if we are bringing it to the masjid, you must understand, I won't be able to stand in the front of now. I will have to stand in the back of the staff with my child, sitting next to me, ensuring that he knows how he's performing his salah, ensuring that he's not causing any mischief in the back. But more than often, that parent leaves the child and goes, the child ends up causing mischief, ends up causing noise. The children are children at the end of the day. They want to play. They see someone playing or see a friend. They want to play. So you don't blame them. But the parent, they have to realize, this is my child. I need to take responsibility. Because when someone now cautions my child, that why are you playing in the masjid? Now what the parent happens? They come to the defense of the child. They get angry. Rather than introspecting and understanding that it is my fault, I never take care of them in the masjid. They now want to defend the child. So to avoid all that issues, be with your child. End of story. Be with your child. Teach them. Now you understand the child is of age. You trust your child. And you know my child won't play. Or you test them out. One couple of salahs, you keep them just a little bit away from you. And you can still have your vision, peripheral vision on them. No problem. But until that time comes, we have to stay with them. I will just end up on this point. Remember, our guidance is Sharia. Not our emotions. Sometimes you'll see people putting out posts that have to do with the emotions of a person, not a Sharia. So many a time you'll see, if you're going to stop the children from the masjid, when they grow up later and they're not in the masjid, don't blame them. Blame you for not letting them come. And then you'll see posts like, you know what, the masjid carpets are the race tracks of the children, and this is the what funny stuff they come up with, right? That's what you call emotions, not Sharia. Sharia has given us clear guidelines on how to be in every situation, and we follow that there. To all those that are thinking of those lines, that what will happen to the children to grow up, Sharia has given us guidelines. Teach them to read when they're 7, and when they're 10, they're not reading, then start admonishing them. So we have the age category for this year. Sharia taught us all of this. And one final point we'll end off on this year, that's for us to think. Can you imagine someone disturbing you in Salah? Just go back now. You want the child to play and race track of the carpet and all these funny things people are mentioning. If you are in a multi-million dollar meeting, if you are in that meeting, will you let your child come in the office? Will you let your child come and eat and play and laugh around whilst you are busy with that person, that businessman of yours, trying to secure the deal, trying to close the deal? Will you even let them outside the door in the passageway? Never. You will tell that wife in advance, you keep the children away, or you say, I'm going to leave you by your mother's house now. I've got a very, very important meeting happening now. So don't, I can't have any disturbances. So regarding this year, have that same mindset that we are in the meeting with Allah Ta'ala. No price can be put on it. We don't know if we're going to have another meeting. We don't know if we're going to see another salah. We have to make sure that it can be the best salah of our life we're having at that moment. And with the disturbance of the cell phone, with the disturbance of people talking, with the children in the masjid unattended to, all this year breaks the salah, breaks our concentration. If we teach our children the respect of the masjid, if we teach our children the respect of the masjid, then they will grow up realizing the respect of deen. They will grow up realizing the respect of deen. Everything starts with the masjid. The masjid is the heart of any community. And if you want the child to grow up in the obedience of Allah, teach them what the true reality of the masjid is, and you'll see how Allah Ta'ala will grant them the understanding of deen. So these were just a few points that came to mind, alhamdulillah, with regards to what transpires within the masjid and how we can try to rectify to make it a place of abadiyat and a place of ibadat, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khairan, man. Really good advice for us and things to ponder about, good examples also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to take heed and really practice on these good advices. Mulana, make dua for us as well. Inshallah, we'll meet you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.